got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So it's almost like these guys are, their equipment and their boat is just being used, and they're sort of like, once he gets on the boat to continue preaching the word, it's like, okay, I've got this set now. You guys can just keep on doing what you're doing. But man, I tell you, God's plan is just incredible when he starts to do things. So when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. He didn't miss a detail. He was preaching the word to these people to the point where he had to get into a boat, one of their boats, and then on top of that, maybe those guys thinking to themselves, because they were going to find out what happened to them during the night of their fishing, that things didn't work out too well. So, but Jesus has his eyes on these guys as well. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And they had done, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they had, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Hello. Take a look at another scripture if we have, if we can look at, I do have this one down, right? Matthew 18, verses 11 and 14. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And in verse 14, even so, it is not the will of God, your Father, who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Who are the little ones? These are the very people that Jesus was talking to. These are the very people that are sitting in this room this morning, that one who's standing before you this morning. That's who Jesus was talking about. And then also, if we could take a look at Matthew chapter 10 and verses 7 through 8. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's a command. Was that just for the people that lived in that day that Jesus was addressing his disciples? Jesus' words are eternal. They don't change. The direction of these words are to people that will follow him. And so this morning I want to say, I guess we can start off by, I can ask a major question here. Who has ever gone fishing? Well, a few of us have. I know the ladies sometimes, they don't like to put the worms on the hook because they squirrel around, or if they put prawns or whatever. I know Marianne, forget it. I'm not sure, have we ever gone fishing together? I think we did maybe once.
Never.
I thought I put a worm on the hook for you.
Never.
Okay, well. Maybe it's just your, yeah, anyways, it's not the worm that you eat, it's the fish. But, you know, you have to look at this whole thing. There's something that we have to see here, and I'm going to deliberately make it almost psychopathically simple, if I could say it that way. Who knows that fish don't come to you? Isn't that true? We can go over this. I've gone over this over and over and over again. But when you go fishing, fish don't come to you. They don't walk up to your door and say, here I am, scale me, fry me, and eat me. They don't do that stuff. What do you have to do to catch a fish? You got to go to where they are. And that is, they live in water. And sometimes you have to go to certain bodies of water to catch the kind of fish that you're looking for. Isn't that right, Sean? Yes. So, you know, there's a, I don't know, it's rocket science, really, isn't it? Go to where the fish are. Jesus is not only talking to his disciples here, but he's setting a paradigm. He's setting something in order of a structure that he wants all of the people that would ever come and follow after him to start taking on and have an understanding that you may not be a fisherman or a fisherwoman, but you may be, you will be a follower of Christ if you're born again. And there's something that God has called us to do that causes us in some ways not to want to go, or something that he's given us to do that we don't want to do. We don't feel comfortable with it. Fishermen feel comfortable fishing, whether it's in a vessel, whether it's at the shore, or wherever, if it's spearfishing. Wherever they go, there's a passion for going out and catching fish. Other people, it's like, you know, some birds like water, and some birds don't like water. Some people find it easy to go up to people and talk about Jesus. And some people, it's almost like they're being thrown into the waves, the deep end of a pool, and they don't know how to swim. So they're splashing all over the place, and they just don't feel comfortable. They don't like it. But there's a pattern that we can see here of what the disciples to become did to get to where they had to go. God's plan was being unfolded right before their eyes and would be for the next 3 years or so through this incident. So it's really good. You know, there's these guys, they had their good days when they were fishing, didn't they? And today we're reading a story where they had a bad day. They were just out there cleaning off the seaweed and the things that were not really kosher to eat, or the little fishies that were not too good or too big enough to eat. So they had a bad night out there fishing, but they still did it anyways. We're talking about seasoned men who had a passion for fishing. And they also, you know, when you think about seasoned fishermen, this wasn't just like a daily thing to catch a fish and eat it. This was their business. This was their livelihood. They were seasoned in what they were, and that's fishermen. It started way back, probably years before, when they saw others doing the same thing, and they thought to themselves, why not? And sometimes a lot of this was passed on from father and generations on to the next generation that would become fishermen again. But they had to learn things, even in the natural realm. They had to learn about the seasons. They had to learn about, there's different seasons for spawning and for the creating more multitudes of fish. That some seasons are not too good for fishing. Other seasons are great for fishing. So all of these things over time, they had to find out the different latitudes and different areas of water and the spots where the fish would be and sometimes where they would migrate. We're talking about soul winning here too, by the way. Because Jesus is talking about, I'll make you fishers of men. So they had to learn all of these things and put all of this into perspective. And once they learned it, they became seasoned. But just because they were seasoned didn't mean that they were going to have a good catch all the time. Proof of the pudding is right here. And it's interesting why God put this here in Scripture. It's not to throw hands up and say, can't do it, I don't like doing this, I knew it was going to happen this way, no fish today. Do you ever feel that way sometimes when you go out? And you're walking amongst people, and you feel like you should say something, and all of a sudden you say something, and all of a sudden it's like electrocution. You just like, you pull back because you know that what you're saying, it looks like you're being rejected. But know this, that the Word of God never returns void. Never returns void. So today they had this perfect timing of starting their day with what they had they had planned to do. You see, they also, as seasoned fishermen, they had a plan things every day or for a week or for several days at a time. They would converse and they would go with according to the plan of what they did. And sometimes that plan would have to be altered because fish are not always the same. They don't like to be caught. They don't like to be eaten. Not that they know that, but we do. But they knew all about this. But today, when they woke up and they, the day before, when they took to sail and they went out during the night and they didn't catch anything, when they got back on the shore, the thing that they were used to doing was cleaning out their nets when they were finished. In the natural, it didn't look too nice, and it didn't feel really good. They just had to go out there at another time to make up for what the time they lost. But the difference between this day is that Jesus was on the scene. And some days, you might get up and feel the same thing. I've planned this day. But you have to know that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is at your presence. He's with you. He's with me. And he has something of a God plan for us to fulfill and to accomplish. And it just takes a matter of us listening to instructions and doing what the Lord has taught us and told us to do. So the anointed one was there with them. And there was a transition that was going to take place from these guys doing what the natural thing was every day of their lives for a long time, getting up, going fishing, hopefully catching a good lot, and then coming back, getting them all sorted out, eating some, and then bringing some to sell. That was their day. That was their job. It was a transition, though, that Jesus had to carefully maneuver. That's what I like about the Holy Spirit. That's what I like about the wisdom of God. You know, in Isaiah, again, it says that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts because they're higher. The things that I do are higher than you do. The ways that I do things are higher than your ways of doing things. And so what Jesus did so accurately and pinpointed on the very day where they failed to catch anything, Jesus needed their boat, and he was at the right place at the right time. And these guys were at the right place at the right time, but they failed in what they did. And so Jesus began, it was almost like reading a parable. Jesus began to say something to them to follow an order, if they would do it, that would make a change. And he used that as a transition from looking at things in the natural, which they had been doing. They didn't know anything about what was out there. And they didn't know anything about what they were going to catch. They would also open up their eyes to see, oh my God, this is the Messiah, the anointed one. And the proof of the pudding is they can see from the power that came out of what he told them to do. It just pinpointed, this is the Christ. This is the anointed one. This is what the anointing does. And Jesus was going to make this a transitory point in their lives to see from the natural to the supernatural. He said, cast your nets out a little further. But Lord, it's just like us. We give excuses. We complain. And I never complain, but I know you don't either. That's all right. But Lord, we've toiled all night. We've tried everything. We've done the right thing. We're seasoned fishermen, and we've got nothing. But according to your word, something clicked. But according to your word, we'll do it. In the first part, it says nets. They don't cast. I'm not going to get into all the frilly dillies about that stuff. But they did listen to Jesus and cast a net out there. And boy, did they catch a catch. It totally was a Bobby Dazzler. They were gobsmacked by what God did right in their midst because while they were trying to pull that net in with all those fish, they couldn't even hold within their own confines all the fish that they caught. They began to sink. The nets began to almost break. And they called their mates over to do the same thing to help us. Help us! Wouldn't that be a good time of witnessing? Help us! All these somebody's got all the DAX, all the other churches. We need help for the fish that we're catching. Does it look that way today? There is a day that's going to happen. God's preparing us for that to happen. But in the meantime, we are going out there and we are doing what he's asked us to do, is to follow him and to do exactly what he did. He had a passion for people that were lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him. How could they believe if they weren't told? Is it always a preacher? I can't go to your work where you work. I can't go into your things, the different places, the places that you go to. But you can't go to the places sometimes that I go to. I'm held responsible to those places. You're held responsible to your places. And that's the beauty of it. It's yours. And it's mine to do in the name of Jesus. And so we see these guys here. You know, Jesus said to them, he says at the bottom here in verse 11, he says, in verse 10, he says, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And verse 11 is stunning. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Christ. They began to listen to the voice of God. Does that mean that they didn't love their dad and their parents, their kinfolk? It doesn't mean that at all. But they loved Jesus the more to follow after the call that spoke into the eternity in their souls. And they were changed at that point and had to follow Jesus. You know, it's interesting that for thereabouts 3 years, they followed Jesus. Starting out, not too bad. And all of a sudden, there are people that are around, and Jesus is talking to people. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the nets that they had cast, they're drawn. There's a catch going on. People are coming. They're coming into the sound of the gospel of life that Jesus is preaching. And all of a sudden, we see that we hear stories, and they start to see these things that demons are cast out of people. People who are sick with all grades of illness, limbs that have been broken, limbs that have been amputated, limbs that have been cut off, limbs that have been diseased, made whole. Mental people, full of demons, or a demon set free with the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that rock your socks? Man, I tell you what, wouldn't that... Man, I can't wait for tomorrow. This is going to be great, man. It was great today. Imagine what it's going to be like tomorrow. I wonder. And so for 3 years thereabouts, they followed Jesus everywhere he went. And man, did they fail sometimes. Hello, anyone else? I got my hand up. Anyone else? If you don't have your hand up, you're lying. We all fail at some times, at some things. But nevertheless, Jesus is not looking at the failures, because it's in our weaknesses that our strength, his strength, is made perfect. It's through the anointing. He knows that. God needs fishermen. God needs people to do exactly what he is doing. And so all of the pattern that Jesus was setting, it wasn't just about the fish that they caught on that day. That's long gone now, and by then they're all eaten up and have turned to something else. But what Jesus is talking about is an ongoing thing where the anointing of God never stops, because God is on the move, seeking those who are lost that they might be saved through Jesus, who came. So for 3 years or thereabouts, they followed Jesus. You know, I thought to myself, I went to Bible college and I got my degree. It was a 4-year degree. I got it in 3.5. Pastor Marianne got hers in 3 years. She took more correspondence courses than I did. She's a good studier, though. But, you know, in that course of time, we learned things. But it's just like we went and we did things and we were learning things from tutors, from teachers. Well, these guys were following the teacher and learning things that they had never, ever seen before, things that have never even entered their imagination. They were beginning to see things that began to set a pattern for their lives. And, you know, Jesus even equipped them to set them out to do the same thing. He sent them out by twos, and they came back, oh, my goodness. Boy, the things that we did in the Holy Ghost, the people, man, it was just incredible, all the things that were going on. And Jesus says, don't just look at that stuff. Make sure that you realize that your name's written in the book of life. Cut across. There's a pattern that Jesus left us. If I can have Matthew, I might have already said that, Matthew chapter 10 and verses 7 through 8. He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. What's the last little bit there? What? Of yourself and the anointing who's within you. See, he set a pattern. He said at the end of Mark as well. It's interesting, at the end of Mark, he says, and these signs will follow, demons will be cast out, number one. Oh, I can't, that's not my ministry, casting demons out. Well, welcome to the school of the Holy Spirit. He'll teach us things that we've never done before. These guys were fishermen. They had never won people or men. They had never caught men for the kingdom of God before. They had to learn what it was all about. You see, it's all in here for the transformation, and it's all in here where it first takes place, is the transformation of our hearts when we follow Christ. When we come to Christ, we allowed ourselves to be caught by the power of God's love. Not a net, but the power of God's love. And the more we follow on with Jesus, if people here don't know how to fish for men, follow the life of Christ. Even if you have to read it, even if you have to listen to it, there are things, DVDs, you can watch it take place by people acting out what Jesus did. I don't know about you, but I still get so inspired. I get tears in my eyes when I see good DVDs produced. And I see the things that Jesus did, the things he would have said, the places he had gone, and the works that he did. I just sit there, and sometimes I could get glitters and weep before God, saying, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Cause me to put the net out where you want me to. Put my life out where you want me to go, what you want me to do. To follow your pattern. Teach me how to follow your pattern. You see, these guys, when Jesus said that to them, after that, they followed every day of their lives. They followed instructions of Jesus. But all of them had certain grades on their testing when that took place. Some of them had, we could say D's. Some days they had D's. Some men had C's. Some men had B's, and some men had B+, and some guys had A and A+. Very good. But Jesus didn't rebuke the ones who failed. or come close to it. Get up and try it again. Look and listen. Look and live. Teach others what I'm doing to them so that you can follow that same pattern. Does this make sense? Praise God. There's a little video clip I want to show you in just a second. And it'll tell you once we get it up there. William Booth, the founder of, who's the founder? Salvation, I knew that. Salvation Army, I was trying to get the word out. And he actually had this vision, but these people put a little DVD together, and it is sort of like it really spoke loud to me. It's a bit quirky, but I'm not here to make everybody feel sort of at ease with some of the stuff that I get, but it will put across a few points that I've tried to share with you this morning, but what Jesus really wants us to do. Amen?
I had a vision. I saw a dark and stormy ocean. In that ocean, I thought I saw multitudes of poor human beings plunging and floating and shouting and shrieking, cursing and struggling and drowning. And out of this dark, angry ocean, I saw a mighty rock that rose up with its summit towering high above the stormy seas. And all round the base of the rock, I saw a vast platform. And on this platform, I saw with delight a number of the poor wretches continually climbing out of the angry ocean. And I saw that some of those who were already safe on the platform were fervently helping the poor creatures still in the angry waters to reach safety. But something puzzled me. Although they had all been rescued at one time or another from the ocean, nearly everyone seemed to have forgotten all about it. Anyway, the memory of its darkness and danger no longer troubled them. And what was equally strange and perplexing to me was that most of these people did not seem to have any care, that is, any agonizing care, about the poor perishing ones who were struggling and drowning right before their eyes. But then I saw something wonderful. I saw a great being from above come straight from his palace, right through the dark clouds. And he leapt right into the raging sea among the drowning people. And there I saw him toiling to rescue them until the sweat of his great anguish ran down in blood. And he was continually crying to those already rescued, to those whom he had helped with his own bleeding hands, to come and help him in the painful and laborious task of saving the lost. But the strangest thing of all was that those on the platform to whom he called were so taken up with their trades and professions and money saving and pleasures and families and community and gatherings and religions and arguments about it that they did not respond to the cry that came to them from this wonderful being who had himself by his spirit gone down into the sea. And so the multitude went on struggling and shrieking and drowning in the darkness. And then I saw something that seemed stranger than anything that had happened before in this very strange vision. Those whom this wonderful being cried out to come and help him in his difficult task, were always praying and crying to him to come to them. Some wanted him to come and stay with them and spend his time and strength in making them happier. Others wanted him to come and take away various doubts and misgivings they had concerning the truth of some letters which he had written them. Others wanted him to come and make them feel more secure on the rock, so secure that they would be totally sure they would never slip off again. They used to meet and get as close to the rock as they could, and looking towards the mainland where they thought the great being was, they would cry out, "Come to us, come and help us." But all this time, he was down among the poor drowning creatures, crying to them in a hoarse voice, "Come to me, come and help me." And then I understood it all. It was plain enough. That sea was the ocean of life, the sea of real, actual human existence. Those multitudes of people struggling in the stormy sea were the billions of sinners from every race, language, and nation. That great sheltering rock was Calvary, the place of the cross. And the people on it were those who had been rescued from sin and hell and who professed to be followers of Jesus Christ. That mighty being who called to them from the tempest was the Son of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is still struggling to save the dying multitudes about us from this terrible doom of damnation, and whose voice can be heard above the music and machinery and noise of life, calling on the rescued to come and help him save the world. My friends in Christ, you are rescued from the waters. You are on the rock. Jesus is in the dark sea, calling on you to come and help him. Will you go?
A bit quirky, but the man who saw the vision was a soul winner. And that's why this really impacted myself, even though the dramatization wasn't the best, it gets the point across. We all have a part in this. We all have a part of shaking things off of ourselves that don't need to be there, or shaking ourselves to come alive, not necessarily to get rid of something, but to get involved with the work that Jesus wants us to do. And that's, it's all about save. It says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's gone now. But his spirit is with us. And that same spirit that was with Jesus is now residing within us. Amen. Father God, this morning we just pray that you would continue to open our eyes, Lord, and cause us to not only just look for opportunities, Lord, but to make opportunities, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, that we would see things that are not necessarily on our radar, that are on your radar, Lord. Open our eyes to see in the spirit realm, Father, I pray it, in the name of Jesus, and to be able to look into your word and see that if you've done things, Lord God, the way you've done them, that we too can do the same thing and even greater things, Lord God, than you did. For your spirit resides within us, and there's a greater amount of people, Lord God, who are perishing. 2.7 people every second, Lord God, are going into eternity every single day. And so we just ask you, Lord God, that this week that you would open our eyes to see, and not only to see, Lord, but to do and to go where these people are. In Jesus' precious name. All the saints said, amen. There's coffee.